So we're going to just quickly recap what we've said very quickly, because tonight we have something very exciting. The Rav Zichron Levracha sees in the Rambam that there's a separate mitzvah of reciting the brachas and learning Torah. Learning Torah with an accompaniment of Birchas HaTorah. And that sets itself up as a separate obligation, a separate mitzvah. There's a sugya in the Gemara that's dedicated to this mitzvah, and it's derived from Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Leilokeinu. And the Rav is wondering about this connection between bracha and Torah. And we find it not just once, but over and over again. For example, the Rav points out that in the Parsha Nehemiah, Ezra opens the Sefer in front of Kol Yisrael. He reads Torah from the Sefer, but before that, he recites a bracha, Baruch Hu Hashem. We told the story about the Briska Rav, that he once missed Baruch Hu, and he felt he had to find a different minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. So again, the bracha accompanying Talmud Torah. And that only applies really to a tzibur, and it becomes a Dovr Shebe Kedusha. We find, for example, we have a Kaddish Drabbanan, which is also a bracha and a tefillah following Talmud Torah. What about with regard to the Yachid? So the Rav assumes that the nature of the connection between the Yachid in his Torah and the Bracha is this parasha, this mitzvah of Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. And even though that Bracha on the Torah is not the Geder Dovrisha B'Kedusha, because it's not recited publicly in a tzibur, nevertheless, it's a substitute, it's a sort of mirror image of the paradigm of Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, which is preceded by a bracha. The Rav further finds a connection between tefillah and Talmud Torah in the connection, or the comparison between two sugyas in Shas. This was the last thing we talked about. The sugya in Brachos on Daf Ches, on the one hand, tells us in the name of Rav Chisda, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Oev Hashem Shari Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Batei Knesios even more, the Batei Midrashos even more than he loves the Batei Knesios. And the Rambam passings like that in Perek Ches Halacha Gimel. And based on this statement of Rav Chisda, Abai comes to the conclusion that instead of davening in a Beis HaKnesses, he's going to now, henceforth, daven in a Beis HaMedrash. So it was only after Abai heard this statement of Rav Chisda about the greatness of a Beis HaMedrash, only then did he change his minhag. And the question is obvious. There's another sugya in Shas, in Megillah Daf Chav Vav Amid Beis Chav Zayin Amid Aleph, that addresses the question of converting a shul to a Beis HaMedrash, or vice versa. And the Gemara records a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan understands that the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses is greater than that of a Beis HaMedrash. Therefore, although you're allowed to convert a Beis HaMedrash to a Beis HaKnesses, you can't do the reverse. Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi, on the other hand, says that the greater Kedusha is that of a Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, you can convert a Beis HaKnesses to a Beis HaMedrash, but not in the reverse. Once we have Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi's statement, why doesn't Abaye, in Masechta Brachos, why isn't the Sugyan Brachos mention this Gemara of Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi? Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi was an earlier generation than Abaye. Why did Abaye wait for the statement of Rav Chisda of how great is the Batei Midrashos, Mishkanos Yaakov, Hashem loves the Shari Tzion more than he loves Mishkanos Yaakov, and then Abaye changed his minhag? Why not Abaye just determine that the Kedusha of a Beis HaMedrash is greater than that of a Beis HaKnesses, and that should have been enough? So last week, there was a fellow who was here, I don't think he's here tonight, Neil. Oh, he came in. And he made a statement last week, I want to quote him, Vishmo, that the sugya in Megillah has nothing to do with Abai's decision where he's going to daven. Abai's not going to choose for his davening a place that has a greater Kedusha. The Rav gives a very fascinating example. He says you have to eat Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. So is somebody going to be Machmir? He's going to eat Kachim Kalim in the Azara because the Azara has greater Kedusha than the rest of Yerushalayim? That doesn't make any sense. You perform a mitzvah in the place that's designated for that mitzvah. You don't have to look for the greatest Kedusha. The Kedusha Samakom is not relevant to deciding where to perform the mitzvah. Therefore, Abaye would not have Excuse me. Abai would not have chosen to daven in a Beis HaMedrash simply because a Beis HaMedrash has greater kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses. But rather, what did Abai learn from the statement of Rav Chisda? And that's what the Rav describes so beautifully as the connection between tefillah and Talmud Torah. And he says what Abai derived from the statement of Rav Chisda, and this you'll see on page Vav, the main paragraph on page Vav, is that the Kiddush, that means the designation of a Beis HaMedrash, is not just limited to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But a Beis Medrash, insofar as it's designated for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, is also at the same time designated for what mitzvah? The mitzvah of Tefillah. He says, Kiddush means specifying or designating the Beis HaMedrash, lo rak lemitzvah Torah, v'talmudah, ki im gam lemitzvah Tefillah. He says it again, Beis HaMedrash, mezuman u'mukta, hukta means it's designated, l'tefillah, k'mo Beis HaKnesses. So whereas on the one end, a Beis HaKnesses is dedicated only for the mitzvah of tefillah, the Beis HaMedrash has a double designation. It's designated not only for the mitzvah of tefillah, but also for the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Once Abai heard that in Hilchos Kiddush, in Hilchos Haktzava, in Hilchos designation, we'll call it, he could daven in a Beis HaMedrash, the place where he learns, then apparently could fulfill the mitzvah b'shleimus, the completion of the mitzvah, by combining both Torah and tefillah in the same act of mitzvah. By performing his prayer in the place where he designates it for Talmud Torah, he is placing it in a place which combines both Torah and tefillah. So again, as we begin the new section for tonight on the bottom of page Vav, keep in mind that the Rav has no less than three proofs that link up bracha and tefillah on the one end with Talmud Torah on the other. Number one, the fact that we have a daily obligation to learn Torah accompanied by what? By a bracha. And in tefillah b'tzibur, it's a parasha Nechemya. Number two, by the fact that with regard to a makom that is designated for Talmud Torah, it is ipso facto designated for tefillah as well. So we see in these two proofs that we combine tefillah and Torah together. And finally, the third proof, which is what we want to emphasize tonight, and that is, how does a person come to daven? What should a person do before he davens? This is sugya in Masechta Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, in Perek Ein Omdim. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Omdim L'Spalel Ela Mitoch Halacha Psuka. What does a person do before he stands up and recites Shmon Esrei? He studies Torah. Not the pilpul of Torah, because that might distract him during his tefillah. It won't allow him to focus. But rather, halacha psuka. In the Yerushalmi, in Masechta Brachos in the fifth perek, Tani, we learned in a brisa, lo yamod adam yispalel bitoch davar shel Torah. Tosis in Masechta Brachos emphasizes that everybody agrees that one should daven mitoch divrei Torah. Even those who say that one should daven from the attitude of COVID rush and simcha shel mitzvah, says Tosis, what's COVID rush and simcha shel mitzvah? Asek b'divrei Torah. Rashi, likewise, ein omdim l'spalel. Lo mitoch atzvus, lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch sicha, lo mitoch kals rosh, lo mitoch dvar b'telim, el mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, says Rashi, what is simcha shel mitzvah? Kegon divrei tanchumim shel Torah. Notice Rashi focuses on a particular part of Torah that we should study, we should read before we get up and daven. Which tanchumim shel Torah? Something that puts us in the mood for appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being ready to be mekabel ol malchus shamayim in tefillah. For example, Rashi says, smoch geulos mitzrayim. First, he should study the parasha of Gulas Mitzrayim, which is a great nechama. It indicates the intervention of God in human affairs on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Or, for example, Tehillel David, which we call Ashrei in our language, which is a Shevach and a Tanchuvin. And Rashi specifically focuses on the Pasuk. Interesting, we never thought of this. Ritzon Yireyav Yaseh. That's the Pasuk that we want to focus on before we get up in Davin. Says the Rav, what comes out of all these Brisos and the Yerushalmi, top of page 7, is that everybody agrees that in order for a person to organize his prayers in front of God, he has to begin with a prologue. And what is this prologue? Divrei Torah. The only difference between the various Brisos is, whereas one Brisa emphasizes Torah Shebal Peh, which is called Halacha Psuka, the other Brisa emphasizes Divrei Ritzui, that means things that appease, or Chizuk V'idud. The Rambam also paskins the same way in Perek Dalet Milchus Tefila Halacha Yud Ches. Ein Omdim Lispal, says the Rambam, Ela Mitoch Divrei Torah. In other words, what's common to all the sources is that a person first learns Torah and then he's ready for tefillah. And the Rav says, I don't understand. We're seeing it over and over again, this connection between Torah and bracha, between Torah and tefillah, a makom that's miyucha, that's designated a muktash for Talmud Torah, is muktash for tefillah. Abai is going to daven in the place that he learns Torah, tefillah, every time the same combination. Why? And in order to explain this, the Rav begins not with the Rambam classically, as he always does in the Yada Chazak of the Mishnah Torah, but rather with the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. And I beg everyone to remember the number 5, because this Mitzvah Saseh 5 in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos teaches us something that's really off the charts, and we have to give it a lot of thought. The 5th mitzvah is the mitzvah of tefillah, and the Rambam derives the mitzvah of tefillah from the pasuk Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem li'avdo b'chol levavchem. Says the Rambam, based on a sifri, what is li'avdo? What is avodah shebelev? Zui tefillah. And then, and I would ask everyone to underline this. I mean, I did, but you have to re-underline it. The Amru Gamkein, the Rambam quotes the Sifri that says further, Uliavdo ze Talmud. Do you see that on the 5th line of that paragraph? Uliavdo ze Talmud. It means that somehow you fulfill the mitzvah of Avodah, not only through Tefillah, but also through Talmud. And the Rambam repeats himself a second time. He quotes a statement of Rabbi Eliezer, who says, "Minayin leikar tefillah." How do we know that tefillah has a source in the mitzvahs of the Torah? Es Hashem Elokecha tira ve'olso tavod. And he says, "Avdu b'toraso v'avdu b'migdasho." Migdash means to go to the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMigdash, and to daven. But first, v'avdu b'toraso. Says the Rav, the Rambam is teaching us something very new, that Avodah Shebelev relates to two different things, Tefillah and Torah. Of course, the Rambam only counts it as one in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, but they are two mitzvahs that unite to one. He's got Tefillah as a separate mitzvah, he's got Talmud Torah in the Taryag, but within the mitzvah of tefillah and sefer mitzvahs, he has not only avodas halev zui tefillah, but avodas halev zui Torah. Says the Rav, the mathematical conclusion that we must derive from this Rambam is that through the study of Torah, one fulfills not just the mitzvah of Torah, but also the mitzvah of avodas shebelev, the mitzvah of tefillah. In other words, within the mitzvah of tefillah, which is the 5th mitzvah counted in the Rambam's enumeration of Taryag, is Torah as well. Torah also is part and parcel of the mitzvah of tefillah. If a person takes a lulav, or eats matzah, or he hears the shofar blowing, that's not part of the mitzvah of tefillah. The Rambam's not going to mention that in the 5th mitzvah. Those all are mitzvahs shebemaisa, but they don't have the element of Avodah Shebelev. However, the mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev, which is tefillah, includes within it even Torah study. Halome Torah, says the Rav. Oved es HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavo u'b'chol nafsho. Mafli, this is unbelievable. An amazing chiddush. Look at this formulation. That one who studies Torah serves Hashem b'chol levavo. And he fulfills this mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev. Just like someone who davens. It means now, something that we've been saying all along, that there's an integration of two different elements to form one whole unit. There's an integration of Torah and Tefillah. Torah, meaning the study of Torah, and Tefillah, which is a broad mitzvah called Avodah Shebelev, integrate and form one unit. And that unit, that achida, is called the mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev. Now the Rav goes on to explain in a very, very phenomenal way, very revolutionary, how Talmud Torah is a kiyum of tefillah of Avodah Shebelev. But I want to take a break for a minute and add a comment or two of my own. The Rav elsewhere discusses the status of women with regard to the mitzvah of tefillah. And for those of you who want to make a note of it, maybe we, Mirtz Hashem, will learn it sometime. It's on page Mem in this very same volume with regard to the mitzvah of smicha, with regard to the topic of smichas gula litfila. And in this particular edition of the Rav's Yartzeit Shirim, it's on page Mem. And the Rambam, the Rav bases himself on the Rambam, who defines the mitzvah d'oraisa of tefillah according to his shita, that as we've seen, that mitzvah of tefillah is d'oraisa. And that mitzvah d'oraisa does not require specific times. Once a day is fine. It doesn't require mincha, what we call shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv, erev, erev tzoraim, and boker. No. It's a timeless mitzvah. Says the Rav. That's why women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah d'oraisa. They may possibly be exempt from tefillah d'rabbanan, which is, the Rabbanan converted this mitzvah into a zman grama mitzvah. But basically the Rav says, quoting a sugi in Brachas Taf Chaf, that the nature of tefillah is rachmei ninhu, tachanunim, to beseech, to petition to God. That's not a zman grama mitzvah on a d'oraisa level. And it includes, the Rav says, three elements: for shevach, and then Bakasha, and then Hodaya. A woman, on a daily basis, the Rav says, is obligated in those three elements that make up the Iker Mitzvah of Tachnunim, of Rachmei Shamayim, of Tefillah Rachmei Ninu, on a Doraisa level. And I was thinking, if you take that Chiddush of the Rav and put it together with this Chiddush of the Rav, this is my own concoction, A plus B equals C, is that if the Mitzvah of Liavdo, which is the basis of Tefillah, is incumbent on women as well as men, then perhaps we could conclude that Talmud Torah is also incumbent upon women. No, but you'll ask me the kasha. We know that Vishinatam Levanecha Velo Livnosecha, and the Ram opens up Hilchos Talmud Torah by saying Noshim Peturas Mimitzis Talmud Torah. The answer is, depends which Talmud Torah you're talking about. If you're talking about Talmud Torah as a separate independent mitzvah, women are exempt. But if you're talking about Talmud Torah as a kiyum of tefillah, then women are included in that mitzvah. There's no reason to exclude them. That's point number one. And point number two, the Rav later on page Tess, I mean, just if you take a quick peek, by skipping to page Tess, he speaks in the paragraph that starts Lachain, you see that little small paragraph. He speaks about the fact that one has to connect his Torah with tefillah. Correct? And that's the mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev, which in its complete form is an integration of both Torah and tefillah. And I'd like to ask the question, getting back to our page, which should come first, Torah or tefillah? And it's very confusing, because on the one hand, if you take a look at this third piece, the third proof for the Rav, based on the Sugyan Brachas Lamed Aleph, that there is a connection between Torah and Tefillah. Ein omdim lispal el mitoch halacha psuka, or mitoch esek b'divrei Torah, mitoch tanchumin shel Torah. So which comes first, Torah or Tefillah? Torah. And yet, if you take a look back at the beginning of this piece, when the Rav and the Shir is talking about the mitzvah of Kishem Hashem Eko of Godel Elokeinu, in the context of Kriyas HaTorah or Talmud Torah, which came first? The bracha or the study of Torah? The bracha. So we're going to find some very fascinating things over here. On the one hand, the Rav is going to integrate Torah and Tefillah under the mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev. And Ezi Avodah Shebelev Zui Talmud, not just Tefillah, but also Talmud. And therefore, within the context of Tefillah, before one stands up to Davin, he should, again, we're going to have to understand why, he should first embellish the Avodah Shebelev that he's about to embark upon with Talmud Torah. But then within the mitzvah of Talmud Torah itself, he's got to embellish the Talmud Torah with bracha, with tefillah. And there the bracha, the tefillah has to come before Talmud Torah. So again, if we're embellishing the tefillah, the Avodah Shebelev, then what comes first? The tefillah. I'm sorry. Okay. The Torah. What I mean to say is that if we're embellishing tefillah, then what comes first is the Torah. It's almost as if, I don't know what example I can give. I don't know if a sandwich is going to cut the mustard, mm-hmm. pardon the pun. But first you have the slice of bread, but what you're really interested in eating is the hamburger in the middle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have a hamburger bun, or right? But you want to get to the meat. So in the context of Avodah Shebelev, the Iker Shebikar, your primary goal is Tefillah. Therefore you need Torah to come first, to embellish the tefillah. In the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, on the other hand, when the Rambam speaks about a mitzvah to learn Torah with bracha, then the embellishment is going to be the tefillah aspect, the bracha aspect of bracha shevach, and that comes before Talmud Torah. So let's see, as we go through this essay, if we can make some sense out of all of this. But now, for the next two pages, the Rav really breaks new ice. Is that how you say it? Breaks ice. I don't know. I'm not a hockey player, so I don't know. But he says that Talmud Torah is a kium of Avodah Shebelev. And he says it in three different dimensions. Very fascinating. This really should have an impact for all of us on our Talmud Torah. Number one, the first dimension, and again, this is analysis not only of Torah, but really of Tefillah, so that we understand how Torah fits into the context of Tefillah. Notice we have to now redefine Tefillah. I mean, if you're going to just say Tefillah is prayer in the most general sense, and that's how we translate it to English, I don't know exactly how Torah, which is an intellectual pursuit and the study of God's wisdom, is going to be considered prayer. But we have to redefine the concept of tefillah in a broader sense. And the first dimension that the Rav is mechadesh here is that tefillah is, get this, kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. And you may want to underline the first half of the last line on your page that starts with the word aleph in the second line up. Tefillah Hibitui kabbalas o malchus shemaim. I'm a little bit disappointed in the word bitui.
What does that mean?
Bitui means an expression of. I would take it out and substitute the word kium. Tefillah is a kium of kabbalas o malchus shemaim. That's how I would have written it. What does that mean? How does the Rav know that there's a relationship between tefillah and kabbalas o malchus shemaim? And the answer is, as you turn here to Daf Ches, is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan in Brachas Yudalit. Rabbi Yochanan gives us the prescription for fulfilling the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Harotzei Sheyikabel of Ol Malchus Shamayim Shleima. If he wants to complete this mitzvah in his perfect form, so first he goes to the washroom, then he washes his hands, Then he puts on tefillin. Then he recites Kriya Shema. And then, says Rabbi Yochanan, he davens. Zui Malchus Shamayim Shlema. What's the last element of this list?
Tefillah.
So from hence we derive that tefillah is part and parcel of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. In other words, when we bow our heads at the beginning of tefillah, and we accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, and perhaps even on a deeper level, when we recognize that we are totally dependent upon the good graces of Almighty God, that itself is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. So we follow through with all the steps, we put on our tefillin, when our body is clean, we recited Kriyat Shema, now we recite our tefillos. That's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim.
But this is Shlema, meaning could you have Malchus Shemayim without tefillah, but it just won't be Shlema?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Shlema means, you know, the perfect, all-encompassing Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim Shlema. I would say if you recited Kriya Shema without tefillin, for example, you'd probably have a mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, because that's the essence of Kriya Shema. But the embellishment of the mitzvah and its performance in the perfect state requires not just Kriya Shema, but tefillin. Tefillin is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shema, you put on your head, and tefillah, and of course Kriya Shema. What does this have to do with Talmud Torah? So here the Rav has an unbelievable chiddush, that Talmud Torah is also part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shema. What's the proof for that? I don't see it in the words of Rabbi Yochanan. So first the Rav starts with a minhag. The fact that we recite Kaddish Derabbanan, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, Kaddish itself is the greatest, perhaps the most dramatic expression of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And Kaddish is recited in its full form following the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But number two, he derives it from the Rambam at the beginning of Kriyat Shema. And you could read this Rambam 10 times and miss the point. Says the Rav, look at the Rambam carefully. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Kriyat Shema, Perek Alpha Halacha Beis, defines the mitzvah Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of Kriyat Shema. And guess what appears in his list? Talmud Torah, you guessed it. What is the Rambam's language? Makdimim Likros Parsha Shema. Why do we start with Parsha Shema? So the Parsha of Shema, says the Rambam, has four elements to it. You don't find this in Vayim Shemoa or in Vayomer. Number one, Yichud Hashem. That means declaring God's oneness, or perhaps maybe there are two elements here. Yichud Hashem means God's oneness, there's no plurality. And number two, God's uniqueness. Then the Rambam goes on and says, Va'ahavaso, right? V'ahavtos Hashem Elokecha. And finally, V'talmudo. The mitzvah v'shinantam levanecha, limanetam osam espenechem. That's in the first parash of Kriyat Shema. Says the Rambam about Talmud Torah, shu ikar agadol shakol tolibo. Everything in terms of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim depends upon Talmud Torah. Right? Ein amoritz chosid vein bur yirecheit. You don't have any clue how to become an Oved Hashem and how to perform Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim without Talmud Torah. So you see clearly, says the Rav, that Limud Torah and the performance of transmission of the Torah from father to son, from Rebbe to Talmud, even from one friend to another in Chavrusa, all this is a demonstration of our commitment to Almighty God and His Torah. That itself is a kiyum of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and insofar as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is part of and essential to Avodah Shebelev, therefore we understand very well that Tefillah and Torah are both to be classified under the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So once again, Tefillah and Torah combine and integrate to form one kiyum of Avodah Shebelev. Number two, and this is amazing. What's the essence of tefillah? Bakasha? It's to petition Almighty God? I need another word than petition. To tip my tongue.
Beseech?
Beseech? No.
Request?
No, I had another word, but okay. Okay, tefillah hi bakasha be'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. for the needs of man. The Rav very often expands upon this. He says there's no need that's too insignificant for man to come forward and request and pray about it. And the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah emphasizes Bakasha, Limud Torah, Afhu, Nechshav, Kisidur, Tzarchei Halomed. Wow. That's pretty amazing. I sit down and I learn the Mishnah of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, and that itself entails or implies an arrangement of prayer and petition to Almighty God. How does the Rav know such a thing? I mean, he's rewriting the Bible. This is like wild. So he bases himself on a Pasuk in Eicha. The Pasuk in Eicha, which the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel, there's a printing mistake here, it says Halacha Gimel, it should be Halacha Yud Gimel. Kumi Roni Balaila, we all know this Pasuk. L'Rosh HaShmuros, remember this song? Shivchi Kamayim, remember that? Shivchi Kamayim Libech. Now what is Shivchi Kamayim Libech? In one word, what is Shivchi Kamayim Libech? Tefillah. No doubt about it. Nochach Pnei Hashem. See a love kapayich. This is a archetypal expression or dramatic expression of tefillah. And yet, the Rambam quotes this pasuk in Perek Gimel, the famous perek of what's called Keser Torah. And the Rambam spends an entire perek dedicated to the question, how does a person merit or experience acquisition of the Keser Torah? And finally, at the end of this long chapter, the Rambam speaks about learning Torah at night.
Well, it can't be tefillah because there's no mitzvah of tefillah at night, right?
I don't know. Interesting. The Rambam holds that the mitzvah d'oraisa tefillah is b'chol yom. Okay. Now, I'm not sure if it begins at night or it begins by day. I think I have a proof that it begins by day, but logically it should begin by night, because vayera vayvoka, we always start the day at night. Amru chachomim, says the Rambam, ein rina shel Torah ela balayla. Who can remind me, what's the nusach of the first pizman on the first night of Slichas? Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Right, but what's the refrain? Lishmoa el arina vel atfilo. So the Rav is saying that the word rina is identical with tfilo. Kumi roni balayla. Shivchi kamayim libech. I mean, I would have translated rina as songs of praise. The Rav says, no. Rina is tfilo, is bakasha. Shivchi kamayim libech. And now the Rambam adds another dimension of Rina Shel Torah. And the Rambam says, Kumi Roni Balaila, this experience, this expression of Rina Shel Torah is Balaila. So again, you can learn Torah by day, and you have certainly have fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but what you're lacking, what you're missing by learning by day, is something called Rina Shel Torah. Rina Shel Torah, I don't know what to say. It's so odd for the Rambam. You know, the Rambam is the intellectualist, the rationalist. What's Rina Shel Torah? I mean, what's the difference between Torah by day and Torah by night? Hey, you know, asking that question is like asking, well, what do Chazal mean when they say, ain't Torah ki Torah is Eretz Yisrael? I mean, what's, is anything different about learning Torah in Toronto than learning Torah in Yerushalayim? I mean, it's the same Torah. I mean, does my brain get sharper in Yerushalayim? I don't know. I mean, I heard some pretty good shiur from the Rav in the 5 years I was there, and he wasn't learning Torah in Yerushalayim. So what does that mean, ain't Torah Kitaris Eretz Yisrael? So remind me to talk, I'd like to talk about that. But it's so relevant to this discussion, that apparently there are other dimensions of Torah that are enhanced, not by the intellectual capacity of a person to study and understand the wisdom of Torah, but by other elements that expand Torah and convert the Torah into a whole different category and add a new dimension to Torah, a new kiyum of Torah, the kiyum of Avodah Shebelev. And somehow, magically, mystically, the Torah that one studies at night is a Torah Sheyesh Ba tefillah. Yesh ba bakasha. It's the arena of Torah. And dafka that Torah, which adds to it the dimension of shivchi kamayim libeich, of rina shel Torah, that's the Torah that has the skula power in it, inherent in it, to generate a keser Torah. Because keser Torah is not the intellectual aspect and the pursuit of the wisdom of Torah, but something beyond. And therefore, says the Rav, the Rambam quotes a pasuk, which is dedicated to bakasha, dedicated to tchina, to bechi, to dmos, to crying out to God, by a nefesh umlala. The Rav gets very dramatic over here. We're talking about an unfortunate individual who's suffering, he's going through straits and sorrow, and he's pouring out his soul to Almighty God in front of God. What does that have to do with Talmud Torah? And the Rama quotes this very same pasuk to prove how great it is to enhance your study by studying Torah at night. Apparently, Rina Shel Torah Balayla is a substitute for Bakasha, for crying out to Hashem. And you'll ask the question, but what's the substance of my crying out to Hashem? Shnayim Ochsim Betalis? You see any tefillah, any Bakasha in there? Migul Ahotzi Lo Amrina? Stam Milvish Loshim Yom? Homer Parati Kiyomer Lo Levisi? Homer Lo Levisi Kiyomer Lo Parati? I don't see it. What am I asking for? So the Rav says, V'chi zokuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'piru tzroch av shel adam avakesh. Does Almighty God need man to spell out his needs? To formulate them in words and sentences? To verbally express them in very deep, great detail? To man's complaints in life? The tzaras that he's suffering from? The salvation that he needs and desires? After all, God is the choker, kal kolayis v'lev. He's bochein everyone's heart. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what your demands are. And there's no need for you to express them verbally. Reminds me of the pasuk in the beginning of Shmos. Vayanchu b'nei Yisrael. They let out an anocha. And this is the tefillah. Ramban makes a big deal about it. That b'zchus the tefillah of Klal Yisrael, they were yotzei Mitzrayim. What was the content of that tefillah? Believe me, the slaves in Egypt, our forefathers, they didn't have to ask what they, you know, in formula. And the Jews in the concentration camps, Rachmana Litzlan, they didn't have to formulate their tefillos to Almighty God. You know, if they prayed to God, it was just a krechts, with if they had enough cough for that when they came after a day of backbreaking work of being beaten by the beasts. Says the Rav, Isuko shal alomed b'Torah, the very involvement by one who studies Torah in its chachma, is an expression and an experience of bakasha. He calls it bakasha ilemes. Ilemes means mute. It's a mute, silent prayer and petition. And it encompasses within it every aspect of a man's needs. He's mashlich yahavel Hashem, all his desires. He casts onto God, who will organize and edit his tefillos on his behalf. Amazing thing. Sort of reminds me what the Rav used to talk about shofar. That shofar is tefillah b'li milim, without words. You know, the famous Hasidic story of the shepherd boy, you know, blows the flute. And he says to Almighty God, take the sounds, you know, going up to heaven and form the prayers. I can't do it. So man at some point says, I can no longer pray. I've done the best job I can. I know what I need out of life. My needs are great. Tzarche Amcha Merubin. Almighty God, how should I express those vakoshos? Shivchi Kamayim. And the answer is Rina Shel Tefillah. So we have now already two dimensions of Tefillah, which place Tefillah categorically under the kiyum of Avodah Shebelev. Number one, we have Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, which the Rama at the beginning of Hilchas Kriyat Shema, when he addresses Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, calls Torah the Iker HaGadol Shakol Tolibo. And number two, we have the aspect of Rina Shel Torah Balayla, of Kumi Roni Balayla Shivchi Kamayim Libeich, of Tefillah as Tefillah, of Torah as Tefillah as Bakosha. And number three, says the Rav, if we really want to understand the breadth of Tefillah, we have to understand that there's another dimension to Tefillah, And that is Shevach v'shira l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is man as at his apex. That Almighty God allows man to praise Him, Him with a capital H, to sing the songs of praise to God. And Almighty God, Kaviyachol, says, you know what? I'm going to be uplifted, Kaviyachol, by your prayer, by your song, by your praise. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world to say that Almighty God needs our prayers, our Shevach, and our Shira, but that's the great gift that God bestows upon us, that Kaviyachol, He accepts our Shira and Shevach. And the Rambam, over there at the end of Perek Gimel, Mehilchas Talmud Torah, in the last part of that halacha that we referred to for halacha Yud Gimel, refers to a sugya in Avodah Zarah. Omer Rabbi Reish Lakish, Kol Ha'Osek B'Torah B'Laila, a person who dedicates himself to the study of Torah during the night hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed B'Yom, he has a certain spiritual charm, I would call it, a chen, which somehow comes out of him, out of his countenance during the daylight hours. And the Gemara, Reish Lakish, quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chazdo, upon whom does God bestow this chesed, this chut shel chesed, this charm in his countenance of man, on someone who's balayla shiro imi. Now, the word shiro is referring to the study of Torah. But what does shiro mean? Song of praise. Why is Talmud Torah called a song of praise? What you derive from this Gemara of Reish Lakish is an equation. A equals B. Limud Torah equals shiro. Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is this so? And the Rambam over there in Rina Shel Torah B'Laila quotes this pasuk in Tehillim and Beis that Reish Lakish, based on this pasuk, derives the conclusion that one who studies Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed Bayom, says the Rav. What greater praise to Almighty God could there be than a person who plummets into the depths of the sea of Talmud, of the thoughts of Torah, the wisdom of Torah? Talmud Torah, therefore, says the Rav, is the most lofty, the most high tefillah, the highest prayer that man can achieve. Again, it's not a prayer in which man works overtime to formulate the prayer, to express his praise to God in words and sentences and paragraphs. Nor is it a prayer that's well formulated in terms of the petitions of man and his begging, his beseeching God to help him. But rather somehow, the Limud Torah itself, and Dafka Limud Be'iyun, the Rav talks about, Tzolel B'Tahomos Machsheves HaTorah, he really dives down, peeling off layer and layer in the understanding of Torah. That itself is a kiyum, is an expression, the greatest expression of tefillah of Avodah Shebelev. And here the Rav, in a very atypical way, quotes the Mor Nevuchim. I can't think of another Shia that I heard from him in which he quotes the Mor Nevuchim. And the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim that really man is enjoined from praying, from praising God. Well, what right does mortal man have to stand and praise God? But rather, through the praise of God, man begins to understand the ways of God, His attributes, His with a capital H. And he comes to imitate God, which is the underlying principle of all Jewish morality. Imitatio Deo, v'olata b'drachov. How does man imitate God? What does man know about God? Man is in a quest to imitate God. He must be in a quest to reveal God's attributes. Who is God? What is God? So the very underlying foundation for all of our morality, halachically, is understanding God. But who could understand God? Where is the light that shines and reveals some sort of method in which we can achieve our goal of imitating God, v'alachta b'drachov? And there's only one answer to that, and that is Torah. The Torah that includes within it Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah Shadom Lomeit, says the Rav, when he studies Torah for the purpose of fulfilling God's will, is an approach or an endeavor and an effort on man's part to organize Shira and Tehillah, praise to Almighty God. And therefore the Rav says we can understand a very strange Gemara in Brachos, which tells us about David HaMelech, that what was David HaMelech's prayer to Almighty God? After all, David was busy composing the poetry of Tehillim, and David turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, I don't know, it doesn't say here where the Gemara is, does it? Am I missing this? I know it's a Gemara in Brachos, later on. Anybody remember where it is? Okay. Somehow here on the page it doesn't say where. So David HaMelech turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he begs him that his recitation, David's recitation of Shiros V'Tishbachos and Tehillim, should be as significant in the eyes of Almighty God as if he was dedicating himself to the study of Negayim and Olos, meaning Seder Taros, which is one of the most difficult, as you know, parts and complicated parts of Torah. I have a note here on the bottom that if you look in Ish Halacha, the Rav has a long piece about this. But in the footnote that we have, he sends you to the writings of Reb Chaim Volozhin, in which Reb Chaim claims that this bakosha of David HaMelech was never accepted by Almighty God. But getting back to the Rav wants to understand what is the nature of this request of David HaMelech. He could have hoped or prayed that the ritzui of the Mizmorei Tehillim should be like Tztaka, like Milus Chasodim, like Hakrovas Karbonos, like Tefillin, like Tzitzis, many ritual mitzvot ben Onam, Lamakom, and Onam Lachavero. Why does David HaMelech attach his Shevach Vodaya to the mitzvah of Esek HaTorah, of the study of Olos and the Goyim? And the answer is that the equation that underlies David HaMelech's prayer is this fundamental principle that Avodah Shebelev is fulfilled not just through Shevach, but also through Talmud Torah. Shiro Imi, as we said, the song of prayer is Torah. And David HaMelech requested of Almighty God that when God evaluate his Avodah Shebelev through the recitation and the singing of the Shiros V'Tishbachos of Tehillim, he should equate it and uplift it to the level of Talmud Torah, which is also a fulfillment of Ritzui, of appeasing our Kodesh Baruch, coming close to God through Shira. And this makes sense in the light of the Gemara in Shabbos that tells us about Rava, that he saw Rav Hamnuna, who was very lengthy in his prayer. He was extending his prayers. And he made a comment. He said, Menichem chai olam v'oskim b'chai shah. That by extending his prayers, he's dedicating himself to chai olam, to this world, where he could have used that same time to dedicate it to chai shah, for the world to come, the eternal world. What's that all about? I mean, he's obligated in the midst of prayer, is he not? The fact that he could have dedicated himself to Torah would not exempt him from his obligation to pray. In fact, the Yerushalmi tells us that if a person is involved in Torah and the time for prayer comes about, he's got to drop his Torah and dedicate himself to Tefillah. So what's Rav Hamnuna's claim over here? His argument Rav's argument with Rav Hamnuna that Rav Hamnuna should have been a little bit shorter and more abridged in his prayers. The answer is that Torah itself is also a kiyum of Avodah Shebelev. If he would be shortening his tefillah, which is Avodah Shebelev, for the sake of expanding his Torah, he would not be dropping the ball he would not be terminating his mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev. On the contrary, through the Talmud Torah that he'd be able to accomplish during those moments of time, he would fulfill and realize the mitzvah of both Torah and Tefillah. Instead of dedicating himself to Tefillah, so that God will answer his prayers in this world, he can achieve something which is purely spiritual, and which is a direct method of achieving Dveikus. And therefore, Rava thought that it's not worth it to expand one's tefillah at the expense of his Talmud Torah. I would just add my own comment on a practical base, a level. If a person is incapable of studying Torah, I mean, he doesn't have the background, then certainly he should dedicate himself to tefillah. I don't think the Rav is denying that. But what you see from this Gemara in Masechet Shabbos is that a person who's capable, he has the background of learning Torah, sometimes you begin to wonder, why is he spending so much time in tefillah? Is he over-exaggerating? Maybe he's looking for the easy way out. I don't know. Some people are, on the other hand, are very, how should I say, emotionally moved to, or they gravitate towards tefillah in a much more intense way. You see all sorts of phenomenon with regard to tefillah. I'm not talking about people who don't have any background. But even people who have background, sometimes they get really heavy into tefillah. And that's certainly laudatory. That's great. But not to over-exaggerate.
Are we saying in this paragraph that the Torah form of Avodah is even a higher level than the Tefillah form of Avodah? Because, I mean, you have the statement of David HaMelech where he says, you know, I wish that my Shiras Mishpachot should be as though I was being Ozek and Negayim and Olos. So are we saying that's even, that the Talmud Torah aspect of Avodah is an even higher level of Avodah?
It depends what you're asking. If you're asking a question on a practical level, I think the answer is no. You know, you have a mitzvah of Tefillah, and the mitzvah of Tefillah trumps the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But if you're asking on a, what should I say, not on a practical level, not in Hilchus Dechia, you know, which comes first. Certainly Tefillah comes first. But if you're asking on a level of the impact on a person and how much he can achieve within the perspective of Avodah Shebelev, I mean, take a look what he's talking here. He's saying that every dimension of Tefillah that you can think of is expressed in Talmud Torah. You want to talk about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim? The Rambam calls it, and Rabbi Yochanan says that's the apex of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim is this Avodah Shebelev, which the Rambam identifies with Talmud Torah. You want to talk about Tefillah as Bakasha? Is Kumi Roni Balayla? You want to talk about Tefillah as Shevach Vahodaya Takodesh Baruch Hu? Then talk about David HaMelech, who only hopes that his Shevach and Tishbachos should be as great as studying the Negayim V'Olos. I mean, it's almost as if all the dimensions of Tefillah are, you know, collapse and are packed into this, you know, this very concentrated mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Beyond which, Michael, I want to add another thing. The Rambam over and over again speaks about the impact of Talmud Torah on the person in terms of his Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rav used to always point out that if you compare the Sefer HaTanya of the Alter Rebbe to the Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhin, I mean, these are two opposite poles. You know, you're talking about the father of Chassidus with the father, or the Talmud Muvak, or the father of Hisnagdus. The Rav says it's mind-boggling. You take out Perek Hay Mihilchas Talmud Torah from Sefer Tanya and compare it to Shar Dalet in Nefesh HaChaim. It's almost verbatim. You get the impression like one copy from the other, which is impossible, because they were so diametrically opposed one to the other. But when they speak about Talmud Torah, and the Rebbe speaks about, I mentioned it on Sunday here, the dveikus that a person achieves by studying Migu and Apesh Asar and Tovea Nitba and Muksok and everything else. And then you're reading the same thing in the Gaon, in the works of Reb Chaim Volozhin. It's unbelievable. So Torah, in addition to being Tefillah and Avodah Shebelev, is the most profound way, and perhaps the most direct way of achieving Dveikus. And I'll be honest with you, and you can't quote me on this, but if you ask me what Olam HaBa is all about from the Rambam's perspective, I think it's all about Talmud Torah. I don't think it's about Tefillah. I get the impression from many different statements of the Rambam that your level in the next world is a reflection of the level you achieve in this world within the context of Talmud Torah. So I don't know. I rest my case. But that's not negeya to the practicality of the chiyuv tefillah. I mean, I would not advocate that we, you know, establish yeshiva without three davenings a day and say, well, we're going to learn Yom and Valayla. We don't have time for davening. That would not be acceptable.
Yeah, but that's what that's allowed. But as the Gemara say, you can be right if you're Osek in Torah.
Right, the Tarasum Naso. Yeah, but Lamaisa, I don't know if anybody could claim that he's Tarasum Naso and apply that tour in that category.
What about a minion to learning? Would you is better to daven faster than go to a minion or?
Well, learn at home. You mean
or learn?
Daven at home so you can learn more.
You can learn more.
In theory, you're right. But it's halacha vein morin kein. What do I mean? In practicality, we need the tzibur. We need the tzibur to daven together. And you need the tzibur. You know, your davening is very nice, but when you're cut off from the... Now, I don't know if Abaye gathered together all his talmidim to daven in his beis medrash. I don't know. I can't say. Today, I would think that most batei kenesios, it's not true for all, have at least one chapel that's dedicated both as a Beis Medrash and a Beis HaKnesses. And the Kedusha, the sanctity of such a place is awesome. It's main Migdash Ma'at. I mean, you've got both the Kedusha of Torah and the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses of Tefillah. And the laws of Kedusha are very severe. I mean, it's kind of scary because you're really not allowed to talk about anything but Torah. Now, I myself saw the Rav sometimes being mekatzer b'tfila. You know, it was very hard for the Rav to daven mincha as we did every day after Shia, because he was so profoundly involved in the Shia. It was not this halacha psuka that we saw in the Gemara in Brachos Lamed Aleph. And I remember the Rav, you know, standing. This I remember with my own, I can see it in front of my eyes. You know, the Rav saying Shmon Esrei, again, I don't know where his head was, I can't tell you, but I can only tell you this. When he finishes, he takes three steps and he says, about your question. You know, and I have my doubts if he was just, you know, he took a break for tefillah and then got back to it. But again, as I say, we live in a world which is a little bit different than the world that the Litvish world that the Rav was living in. I mean, I have a personal friend who, okay, he's a Baal Tshuva, but still, he's a Baal Tshuva from a very young age. The man dedicates, and he's a very fine Talmud Chacham, but he dedicates more time to baking matzahs. I mean, he could finish half Shas in the time that he dedicates to baking matzahs. So I don't know. Again, there's mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho, and maybe this halach of lechemoni, you know, darko shaloni, lahasikas hatanur, and this and that. But again, you know, to spend 10 hours on baking matzahs, you know, I don't know if you know what goes on. They rent out a private oven, and they have every chumra in the book, you know, so there's no flour floating in the air, you know, and they run around yelling at each other, you know, to make sure that the matzah is not chametz or the chametz is not matzah. I don't know what they're doing there. And for 10 hours, and what do they come out with? Each guy in the chabura, after spending 10 hours and $50 million, ends up with three matzahs, two of which are half burnt. You know, and I say, buy a sapa matzahs. And get yourself another 10 hours of learning. It doesn't seem to me to be worth it to have pikpukim about the matzahs that we're getting today from, you know, whatever your favorite matzah is. There's a moshav in Yerushalayim called Koma Miyut. You know, they have these great matzahs. You can even get whole wheat. And you can get matzahs today with every hashkacha, whether it's Chassidish hashkacha, whether it's German hashkacha, you know, the Yeki hashkacha. You can even get Sfari matzahs from Rav Avadi Yosef. I mean, so for that, you know, I look at this Gemara, and I really relate to Rava very heavily. You know, there are people... again, maybe I'm a little guilty of this. I should maybe spend a little bit more time davening. The trouble is I got used to this early minion here. But anyway. So the Rav in the next paragraph, which we've already seen, identifies this special kiyum of integrating Torah with tefillah under the rubric of Avodah Shebelev, a mitzvah. The fifth mitzvah in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is fulfilled and achieved in its most perfect form when a person combines together his Torah and his tchina, his Torah and his bakasha. And the Rav goes on to say, therefore, as we saw, ein omdim lispalel el mitoch divrei Torah. We want to integrate both Talmud Torah and Tefillah into one. And I'm going to try to push this just for another few minutes to get one more paragraph in. The Rav wants to say in the next paragraph that Tefillah needs a matir. And for this, we really have to study that article, that Yahrzeit Shiur that I mentioned to you before about Smichus Gula Tefillah, because there the Rav goes into great detail about this. And in a short form, the Rav establishes that who is mortal man to come close to approach the throne of Almighty God, the Melech Malchei Amlochim, and to talk to God and petition Him for His silly needs that within the cosmos, the cosmological spheres are so minute and so insignificant, without finding first some sort of tmicha, he calls it, some sort of an allowance or to alleviate this chutzpah, so to speak. And the answer is, what he first has to do is ritzui shiros v'sishpachos. And in truth, even ritzui shiros v'sishpachos, which is what Psukei Nezim is all about, as we say, if anybody has a sitter here, in Baruch Shomar, what does it say there? Shirei David, help me out over here. I'm not good at quoting. Yeah, what comes before that? Anyway. Okay, thanks. Thanks for your help. Okay. Nobody has a sitter here? I mean, basically we're in a shul. Okay. Even a Lubavitcher sitter is okay. I mean, is that...
is that a sitter?
Oh, no, that's something else from Eastern Parkway. Okay. So he says... Then if you take what does it say? Wait, slowly, Chaim. I'm not so. Oh, b'shirei David avdecha. So mishubach u'mufar b'shirei David avdecha. That I mean, he's referring to Tillim. Basically, all of Psukei Nezim is Tillim, and then you have the Shiras Hayam there at the end. He says the Rav says that the pasuk in Malachim l'shmol arina v'latfila, which we spoke about before, establishes that a person cannot first begin, jump into prayer and petition, but first he needs ritzui by singing the songs of prayer, reciting the Psukei Nezimra, and then and only then beginning with his tefillah, his tchina, his petition to Almighty God. Therefore, halachically, the recitation of Psukei Nezimra is to be defined as a matir. A matir meaning something that allows you to what otherwise without it would be a violation of some prohibition, of some violation. Because the opening of tefillah must be rina, must be song of praise. That's what breaks the ground. He calls it solel es haderech. It paves the way for bakasha that comes on a daily basis.
So we don't need it in Ma'ariv?
Oh, what about Mincha and Ma'ariv? So in Mincha we have Ashrei, Tehillah L'David that we spoke about before, which Rashi mentions over there in Brachos Lamed Aleph. And in Ma'ariv we have, depending upon what your minig is, you may have a certain paragraphs of Tehillim that you recite before Ma'ariv. If you don't have that minig, and certainly you don't have a Chatzi Kaddish, then you have Baruch Hu, correct? So Baruch Hu is the Bakasha. And then on top of that, that Baruch Hu is the Shevach V'Hodoyah, the Rino. And on top of that, you have what's called Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ezu Ben Olam Abaz HaSomech Gula Shel Arvis and Tefillah Shel Arvis. So in other words, in Ma'ariv, we likewise create this Smichus Gula Tefillah. Now, what is Gula? What is the essence of Geula? Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael. Or those paragraphs that we take from the Shira Sayyam, Micha Mocha Be'elim Hashem. All that is Shevach V'Odoya. So that too forms a matir. On top of that, you have Yehi Shmei Rabbah before you start Shmon Esrei of Ma'ariv. So all those pieces within the Rav's frame of reference are matirs in order to alleviate this prohibition of just jumping in and asking God to fulfill your desires, your very petitions. And now we come back to Torah. Because we just finished saying that Ein Omdim L'Spalel, Ela Mitoch, Divrei Torah. So in other words, even granted that the tefillah, the framework of tefillah, is going to begin with a matir, namely Shevach V'Odoya, the Shiros V'Tishbachos of David HaMelech, but even though tefillah within its internal framework has a matir, the tefillah outside, even before we get to the framework of Psukin Zimra, that too needs a matir. And what's going to be the matir for tefillah, even before we get to the tefillah itself, is Torah. Even Torah, the Rav says, is a matir. And this is going to answer our question that we asked earlier. Why is it that the Gemara places Torah before tefillah? One could have said, as we tried to suggest, that since it's part of the mitzvah of tefillah, to embellish the mitzvah of tefillah, we surround it with Torah. But the Rav understands it in a whole different light, that Limud Torah is the matir. If a person wants to merit this mitzvah, he wants that permission to fulfill this mitzvah of Avodah Shebelev, of tefillah, then first he has to serve Hashem in a different way, namely through Torah. Excuse me. Now on the top of page Yud, you have it? He says, he who serves God through his Torah study is fitting to serve God also in prayer. Therefore, Talmud Torah is the great matir of tefillah. We begin with it, and we end with it. I think he means when we end with it, either Kriyas HaTorah at the end, or rather he means all the psukim that we read after tefillah. For example, Ashrei and so forth. What other parts of Torah do we have after tefillah that the Rav might have in mind? We have psukim at the end of Elokai Nitzar, correct? What else?
Olenu, we have psukim.
Olenu, Kakasuba Sarasecha.
Tachnun,
you're right, is also from Tillin. Maybe the Rav has in mind. I don't think that's what the Rav has in mind, because Tachnun is really part of Tefillah itself. It's part of Bakosha and petition. The Rambam says, I think it's in Perek Hay, Perek Zion, the Rambam says there are five things that are part of tefillah, but are not ma'akivis at tefillah, and one of them is nefilas hapayim. So I would say that nefilas hapayim is another form of tefillah, of bakosh, of petition, and it ends with also the Shomer Yisrael's, Anachnu Lo Neda, all those paragraphs which are tefillah. But I think even afterwards you'll see in Uvolat Zion, and certainly Ashrei in Uvolat Zion, Lam Natzeach, all those are chock full of psukim. And finally, if you're in Nusach Ashkenaz, you end the whole service with Shir Shalom, which is also Kiyum of Torah. And therefore, we have a new foundation, a new fundamental principle with regard to Avodah Shebelev. And that is to create this entity of Torah and Tefillah. And therefore, getting back to our previous conversation, a base medrash, you think, well, that's what Abai thought originally, is dedicated just to one aspect of Avodah Shebelev. And the answer is no, it's dedicated. Or let's say it this way. Abai thought that the base medrash is dedicated to Torah as Torah, meaning as a separate mitzvah independent, derived from Vishinantam Levanech V'limadetem Osam. No. Abai learns from Rav Chisda that base medrash is dedicated to the mitzvah of Kiyum Shebelev, of the Torah that's part of and a fulfillment of the dimension of Kiyum Shebelev, and therefore included in that haktsava, in that kiddush, that designation of the base hamedrash is Torah as well. And therefore, the Rav in the next paragraph, which we will leave for next time, is going to dedicate himself to understand this Gemara of Rav Chisda, and why Abaye decided to, henceforth, after he heard Rav Chisda, to daven in the place that he learns, and by doing so, to integrate both elements of Avodah Shebelev and generate the full-fledged kiyum of Avodah Shebelev. After that, the Rav is going to come full swing back on the bottom of page Yud to answer up his original question, which he began this shiur with, namely, what is this entity of learning Torah following the recitation of three brachos, forming a unit, as the Rav would say, of Avodah Shebelev, of Tefillah plus Talmud Torah. And that more or less will take us to the end of part one of this shiur. Part two is a lot easier and a lot shorter. So, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully by next Thursday night at this time, same time, same station, we'll have finished this Yahrzeit shiur.